Turn with me in your Bibles this evening to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 11. And guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Did you know that we were going to be talking about that tonight? In a fashion, we will be talking about that. He guided them through the wilderness with the cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. He gave them His laws and His commandments to guide them in the land. And they did not follow. And they did not follow. We're working through verses 18 through 20. Blessed verses. We've used them much as it applies to us. What God has done for us that are saved. In exposition of this passage, trying to keep it there and then drawing the application to us, he told Israel, particularly the captives, those in exile, that he was going to gather them together as one back into the land. We looked at that a couple weeks ago, that thought, and brought some thoughts from that. Last week, we looked at another phrase there in the 19th verse. He said he'd give them one heart. He's not only going to bring them back into the land as one, in other words, all that he had scattered into whatever country he had scattered them, he was going to gather them out of those countries and put them back into the land. And he's going to give them one heart. Give them one heart. One heart. Not a heart to other gods, and a heart to Him. One heart. Covered that fairly well, I think, concerning having a divided heart and made application to it to us today. We have divided hearts many times. We're to have one heart. Many times we have divided hearts. We give into the flesh and we get our cares and our attention's focused to the things of this world. Tonight he says he's going to give them a new spirit. Let's read verses 18 through 20 again. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So verse 19, the next phrase we're looking at, he said that I will put a new spirit within you. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, and we'll look at verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's going to put it in their inward parts. He's going to give them a spirit, a new spirit. You say, what's wrong with the old spirit? But it was just that. It was their spirit. It was their spirit which did not desire to follow God, did not desire to do the things of God. They wanted to be like the other countries. They wanted to be like the other nations, the other people. They wanted to worship their gods. They didn't want to serve the Lord. That was their spirit. He's going to give them His spirit. That's new to any man. Any man that does not have the Spirit of God, God giving them His Spirit is new. He put a new spirit within them. He put a new spirit within me. If you're here tonight and you're saved, He put a new spirit within you. If you're listening on the internet tonight and you're saved, He put a new spirit within you. As we consider spirit, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. It's only His spirit that can do a mighty work. It's only His spirit that can energize and that can create life. It's only His spirit that can give you a heart that desires to follow Him and desires to do His commandments, to keep His laws. Verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1. And the earth was without form and void. Notice that. That's a type of the natural man. Every man without Christ, without the working of the Holy Spirit in his life, is without form and he's without void. He's dead. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. He's in darkness. Every man without Christ is in darkness. The light came. John 1. The light came. And men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. And the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The waters were dead. The earth was without form and void. There was nothing in the waters. The waters were not suitable for life. They would not sustain life without the Spirit of God moving, hovering. That word move means to hover over. The Spirit of God hovered over it and energized those waters, making them fit for life. Putting life into those waters so that they could sustain life. I remember when the Spirit of God hovered over me. When the Spirit of God quickened me. Gave me life. Boy, when He did. And I saw my sinfulness. I saw my sin, all my sin, as God sees it. And it wasn't pretty. It was awful. It was putrefying. It was against him. And I hated my sin. I despised my sin. And I desired to turn from it. And he gave me faith to turn from it and to turn towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave me repentance and faith so that I could. That was the work of his Spirit. But they had not the Spirit of God. That's why we've come to the book of Ezekiel. They had not the Spirit of God. And so God is bringing judgment upon them. If they'd had the Spirit of God, they would have done that which was pleasing unto God. Look what he says in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in chapter 1. And you say, well, the book of Proverbs was written a long time before Ezekiel, before Jeremiah and Ezekiel, yes. It's speaking the words concerning their fathers. It's speaking the words concerning you and I without Christ. I trust us not speaking the words concerning those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. But look with me at Proverbs chapter 1. And we've got to read verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. He said, turn you at my reproof. Repent. And I'll put a new Spirit in you. That's what he said in verse 23. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would not of my reproof. You would not listen to me. You would not heed my reproof, he says. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh unto you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Sounds like what we've read concerning from back in the book of Ezekiel, is it not? That's what we've studied in Ezekiel. That's the very thing he's saying to those in Ezekiel's day and Jeremiah's day. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. They would not follow him. Remember what I said at the beginning? He gave them the pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire during by night to follow. In the words, he gave them his laws to guide them, to lead them in the land, and they would not follow. They would not heed his counsel. They would not his reproof. He sent his prophets unto them. We've read that from the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter 36. He said he sent his prophets unto them early, he said. Early on in their rebellion. Early on in their refusing to listen, he sent prophets to them. They wouldn't hearken to his reproof. Look at Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Now we're getting closer to Jeremiah and Ezekiel's day. Isaiah chapter 30. And look at verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. You see, I told you they weren't following the Lord. They were following something else. What were they following? Well, as Jesus put it in the book of Matthew chapter 6, they were following mammon. Mammon, riches, wealth, gold. It's things of the world. Things of the world. That's what their eyes looked upon, and that's what their eyes lusted after. That's what their eyes wanted. They didn't want to be as God commanded them to be. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we want to be as God commanded us to be? Do we realize? Do we really realize there's blessings in serving the Lord? There's blessings in doing that which is honor and glorifying unto Him. There's blessings in doing that which pleases Him. We use this concerning the giving of tithes and offerings. But you can't outgive the Lord. Amen. And that means in all your service. Yes. Not just with your money. In all your service, you can't outgive the Lord. I think a lot of the trials and the tribulations and the sufferings that we have to endure are because at some point in our lives we've refused to follow Him. We've refused to obey His commandments. We've refused to do that which is pleasing unto Him. Now, compare those passages of Scripture with what we're told in the book of Romans. Book of Romans chapter 8. We love this chapter, don't we? Well, I hope and trust you love all the Word of God. Even when it's reproving and rebuking you. Especially then. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. We love that. That's talking about those who are in Christ Jesus, those who have had the righteousness of God imparted unto them, those whom Christ died for on the cross of Calvary while they were yet enemies. He died for them. When they were ungodly, He died for them. For those folks, there is therefore now no condemnation, but it doesn't stop there. To them which are in Christ Jesus. Well, amen. And I know I say this often, but I've had many of folks. I used to work with a lady. Oh, she loved Jesus, and she was so looking forward to His coming. But she didn't follow His commands. She hadn't been to church in years. And the Lord says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, as you're looking for the coming of the Lord and you see that day is getting closer and closer, boy, you ought to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 10:25. Well, but it doesn't stop there. In fact, that's just a comma. That's just a small, quick pause. A place for you to catch your breath quick. And go on. Who walk not after the flesh. Ah, he's really qualifying it, isn't it? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. You see, if you're really in Christ Jesus, You'll be seeking to be led by the Spirit and not walking according to the flesh. Now, he had said that to those Israelites, not in those exact words, but he had said that to those Israelites many, many times. Many a times. As you read the account of the Israelites, do you think about that? We read that and we think about, boy, that sounds like me. I mean, I used to read it and say, man, how could they? Well, how can I? How can I? We do the very things they did. Do we think about that when we read the Old Testament? We read about Israel and their wanderings. I mean, wanderings away from God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin. And we're in Christ Jesus and we're to be walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And God has condemned sin. Why would we want to walk in sin? Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What's the righteousness of the law? Righteousness of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of the law. So when we follow after the Spirit, we're fulfilling the righteousness of the law. Why? Because the Spirit's not going to lead contrary to Jesus Christ. He's not going to lead contrary to God. He's not going to lead contrary to Himself. He is God. It's the Spirit of God. Just as Jesus Christ could not go against the Father. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. Couldn't go against Himself. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see, those that have the new Spirit put within them, they mind the things of the Spirit. They mind the things of that new Spirit. That is, they desire to do them and they seek to follow them. They seek to follow the Spirit all the days of their life. Look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You got the Spirit of God in you. He's made you alive. He's quickened your body to live after the Spirit. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So I said unto them that He was going to put a new Spirit within them. He's going to put His Spirit in them. You're going to give them one heart, a new heart. One heart, not a divided heart, but one heart. One heart that is single towards God. He's going to give them His Spirit. His Spirit's not divided. So they won't have a divided heart. They'll have that one heart. In other words, they're going to be a new creation. they're going to be a new creation. Look at the new creation. Look with me to the book of John. John chapter 3. As soon as I say John chapter 3, all kinds of bells ought to go off. You ought to know at least several things of what John chapter 3 is talking about. And then when I say verses 3 through 8, well, that ought to even narrow it down more as to what we're reading about. But in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered Nicodemus and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He needs to have a new heart. He needs to have a new spirit. And you give him a new heart and a new spirit, and he's a new creation. He uses the terminology born again. Cannot see the kingdom of heaven if he's not born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, Nicodemus, in all his education, he was a Pharisee, don't forget. I mean, he was a top Pharisee. Seems as though he sat on the council. He was learned. But he didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, did he? Truth of the matter is, I didn't understand till Jesus saved me. And over time, he showed me the truth of this blessed passage. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, except a man be born of the Word of God by the Spirit of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must have a new spirit. You must have His Spirit in you. But when you've got His Spirit, your spirit. You see, that which is spirit is spirit. Love that verse, don't you? Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Here you go, Nicodemus. Do you understand this? The wind bloweth where it listeth. That's a word for will. Where it will. We understand that, don't we? And thou hearest the sound thereof. We understand that, don't we? The wind blows where it wills, and we can hear it. I mean, we can hear the effects of it. In the trees and whistling around buildings and whistling in your windows at home and what have you. But canst not tell whence it cometh. We can't tell where it came from. And whither it goeth. We can't tell where it's going. All we know is it's blowing out there. And we might say, well, it's blowing out of the west. And it's blowing towards the east. But do you know where it goes from there? No. Only God knows. It might die off. This afternoon, it got real windy there for about 15, 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden, I don't hear anything anymore. It died. It was amazing. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Everyone that has a new spirit put in with it, that the Spirit does its quickening work, it's making alive and gives you a new spirit, new heart. You can't see where it came from. And you can't see where he went. But you sure can see the effects.
Amen.
Of where he's been. I hope that people could see the effects on me. That he's been there. And he's still working. He's still working. Because he's where? He's in here. He's within. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I know you know this verse. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creature. New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's the effects of the working of the Spirit of God in making alive, giving you a new heart, giving you a new spirit. The effects of the working of the Spirit has made you a new creature, new creation. The psalmist said this in Psalms chapter 51. Psalms verse 51. In verse 10. David, after his sin with Bathsheba, and after the prophet came to him and revealed to him his sin, he wrote this psalm. In verse 10 he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You see, he had a new heart, but it had become tainted with sin. And he had a new spirit. He had the Spirit of God indwelling him. But his spirit had become tainted with sin. And he wanted to feel the working power of the Holy Spirit again. He wanted to follow the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit again. He wanted to have the joy of his salvation restored unto him. You see, sin will cause you to lose the joy of your salvation. And you want that joy restored. It's not a fun place to be. You want that joy to be restored. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians here in chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. As many as walk according to this rule, according to the rule of not of works, but of grace.
Amen.
Justification is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. Justification by faith, not of works. Any man walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy. See, he was telling them. The whole book of Galatians is dealing with that issue, that very issue. There were some Jews in the church of Galatia there that were wanting to impose upon those Galatians circumcision. You can't be saved if you're not circumcised. That would be like somebody comes down the aisle saying they're saved and professing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they don't want to be baptized. And then me saying, well, no, you're not really saved if you're not baptized. That's not so. There's thousands of people out there that are saved, but they haven't been scripturally baptized. Does that mean they're not saved? No. I think one who's come into this church says they're saved. I think that if they're really saved, they're going to want to be baptized. For that's the first act of obedience as a child of God. You see. But we can't go telling people, if you're not scripturally baptized, you're not saved. That's the same thing that these Galatians were doing with circumcision. You see. Mercy. Peace be on them and mercy. And upon the Israel of God. Ephesians. We can't get away from Ephesians, can we? Ephesians chapter 4. Can't get away from that fourth chapter, can we? I was thinking about that this weekend. Ephesians chapter 4. I know we're supposed to close it out Sunday. But hey, it's still on my mind. Look at verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Talking about your manner of life. That gets your speech and everything. That you put off concerning the former, your former behavior. The way you behaved before Christ Jesus came into your heart. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, you have a new spirit. You have the Spirit of God indwelling you, leading you, guiding you, directing you, telling you no, 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 telling you yes, yes, yes. And now he said, our minds, the spirit of our mind needs to be renewed too. And that you put on the new man. The new man, the new creation. Old things have passed away. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, that new creation puts off the former behavior. Puts off the old works of the flesh. Why? Because he's created in true righteousness and holiness. He's created in the righteousness of God. And he desires to be holy as God is holy. Some people don't get that part about righteousness and holiness. They just don't get the part about being holy and desiring to be holy as God is holy. And so anything that he commands in this book, is it unreasonable? This book shows us the holiness of God. These commands are based upon His holiness. What He tells us to do, what He tells us not to do, is based upon His holiness.
Amen.
If we want to be holy as He is holy, where's the practice of it in our lives? Why do we not take His Word? We want to take that which is black and white, and all His Word is black and white. But we want to make it gray. Or we want to make it say, well, don't say that. Well, as said, that was a long time ago said that. That doesn't apply to our day and time. I've heard folks, you'd be surprised at the things I've heard folks say. In fact, if the truth be known, probably at one time or another I said it. You know? Well, we're going to quit there tonight. He's going to put a new spirit in Israel. Within the remnant of Israel. The remnant according to election. Romans chapter 11. He's going to put a new spirit within him. He's going to give them one heart. He's going to put a new spirit in them. Next week we'll look at the thought that He'll give them tenderness of heart. I said, well, you said, well, that verse don't say anything about that. Well, it does too. He says, verse 19. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. What's that mean? He's going to give them a tender heart. A heart that's tender towards God. And let me tell you something. A heart that's tender towards God is a heart that's tender towards others. Well, we'll deal with that next week.